missing it. And that's why also our relationship with God is broken. Instead of putting God first in our lives, we put ourselves first. We think we can do without him. We think we can do better than him. We think we're better off without him. And the end result is what we see around us. Self-centered human beings trying to run lives their own way without God. And the Bible's technical word for that is sin. Because you and I, we all sin. And sin's a term which basically describes how we mistreat one another and how we mistreat and rebel against God. Well, it sounds serious. It sounds morbid and so unreasonable. But think of it from God's point of view. God's the one who made us all and has given us every good thing. He loves us and wants us to enjoy his goodness. And most of all, God wants us to remember him, to thank him, to appreciate him, to talk to him, and to love him back. But that's not the way we treat him. So if we're fair and honest, we'd agree it's only right that if we keep on rejecting God, then he would reject us and cut us off from all the good things he gives us. Now, Christmas actually is a time when we really do find joy in wonderful things. Many wonderful things that God's given us. Family, good friends, tasty food. These can be fabulous. But all these things won't last. The food makes you fat. And when you think about our family and friends, unfortunately, death and disease always inconveniently interrupts. Our joy still fades. And ultimately, it's replaced by the destroyer of life and joy and happiness. It's replaced by death. And that is God's judgment on our sin. Here we go again, you might be thinking. Here we go again, the preacher's out to ruin Christmas. Here we go again, he's sucking out all the fun out of Christmas. He wants to put Christmas on a diet. He wants to take away all the good things that we enjoy and put Christmas on that evil 5-2 diet. About twice every week, my wife says to me, you know, you should go on that 5-2 diet. I'd rather have my eyes poked out with knitting needles. The simple truth is this, we all need saving, and Jesus has come to save us. Today, you've only got to decide whether the angel's message is the most offensive message of all time or the most loving message of all time. When that angel said, today a Savior is born, it's as if all humans were laid out on the ground across the earth and we're all magnets laid out on the ground. And we're either attracted to or repelled from the angel's magnetic message. And you've got to decide this morning whether this angel is out to ruin your Christmas or announce the best news you've ever heard. The angel announced the birth of our Savior, Jesus, God's Son. And he was the only one who ever lived a perfect life without sin. He lived in perfect relationship with God. And as you know, we celebrate at Easter, in a couple of months' time, that Jesus was nailed to a cross and died a horrific death, the kind that was reserved for the worst of criminals. And he didn't need to die for us, but he willingly went to the cross to save us by taking the punishment that we deserved. And we know that Jesus' sacrifice was effective because he rose again after 3 days, never to face death again. So we can trust that Jesus has dealt with our sin. And it means that we can now relate to God again. So God sent his angel to tell this good news. Jesus, the Savior of the world, has come. And even though we didn't treat him the way we should have, God comes after you. He seeks you out. He finds you. And he saves you. And it began with a little baby boy born to Mary in a barn in Bethlehem. It began with a host of angels proclaiming this baby's birth to a bunch of shepherds in the fields. because Christmas is now here. And the simple message of Christmas demands a simple response. Let me read what the shepherds did from verse 15 onwards. When the angels had left and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which is just as they had been told. Now, shepherds are commoners. They were ordinary people of the time who lived in the fields, worked all day with their hands, and probably smelt a bit like sheep. Shepherds were simple, practical people, probably a little bit like engineers. You know, those flannelette-wearing, non-book-reading, Star Trek-watching people? I used to be an engineer, so I still love engineers. And you should be thankful if you're an engineer that you're not a lawyer. But all jokes aside, I kind of like identifying with the shepherds here. They heard the message. They checked it out. And then they believed. When they heard that angel, did they know that this baby would one day walk on water? Did they know that this baby would give sight to the blind? Did they know that this baby would save us and make us new? Well, they didn't. But they checked it out and believed. Many of us here think we're sophisticated and educated and intelligent. But if they, those simple shepherds, accepted the simple truth, could you? And what did Mary know? This poor, peasant, pregnant out of wedlock girl. Did she know that this baby was God? Did she know this baby was the Lord of all creation? Did she know this baby could save us from our sin? Now, of course, she didn't know everything, but she knew what the angel had told her. And she witnessed people from all over the place coming to worship this baby king. And she saw what this baby would become. And she believed. What about you? The response to a simple message is none other than a simple trust. Ultimately, you and I need to make a decision. Is the angel out to ruin your Christmas? Or is an angel out to tell you the best news you can ever hear? Jesus paid an enormous price for us to come back into relationship with God. And what Jesus is asking us is simply just to put our trust in him. He's asking us to believe him, that he has given us life so that we can return to God. Today, the angel's message has been announced to every single one of us. And what Jesus would do for us on that cross later on in his life is truly remarkable. But like the shepherds, you might find that all what I've said this morning just makes sense. Now's the time to respond. Do you have desires and longings of your heart? Jesus can touch your life and transform your soul and make you a new person. Do you have sins that scar the soul? Jesus can forgive those sins. Are you weary of life right now? Well, he can solve your problems, lift your burdens, forgive your sins, and make you new and bring you peace this Christmas if you'd only put your trust in him. So this morning I'm asking you to put your trust in Jesus. If you believe that Jesus has saved you, if you ask God to forgive you, if you turn back to God and say sorry, then you can be certain that you're saved. You can know for sure that the joy we experience in all the good things now at Christmas can extend to our relationship with God, and the joy of Christmas will never fade or end, but will last for all of eternity with God in heaven. So Christmas is here, and you've got to make a decision. Will you believe the good news? Will you trust Jesus? If your answer is yes, I'd love to talk.